This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome, I'm Dr. Susan Blank. You're listening to Detailing Addiction on America's Web Radio. Today in studio today, I have two guests with me. I have Jeff Horton from West Ridge Academy. Jeff has a bachelor's degree from Brigham Young University in marriage and family and human development. He has been practicing neurofeedback for a number of years and moved from Southern California to Salt Lake City in 2010. He graduated from Argosy University with a master's degree in mental health counseling in 2012. He's trained in brain state technologies, brainwave optimization, as well as Peter Van Dusen's learning curve neurofeedback techniques, which emphasize viewing each brain on a personalized individual basis rather than comparing unique individuals to a normative base. Database. So we have Jeff. Thank you so much for being here today.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
We also have the CEO of West. I'm going to do that all day. I'm so sorry. West Ridge Academy, Gary Lovett. He joins us today from Salt Lake City. A graduate of Utah State University with a degree in finance. He's worked for a number of very important and famous companies, including Franklin Covey, Novell, and Toolchecks. Prior to joining West Ridge Academy. You're going to have to say that from now on. Thank you both for joining us.
It's our pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
Will you please say the name of your institution for me, since I can't seem to do it?
It is West Ridge Academy.
West Ridge Academy. Who would have thought I was going to have trouble with that? The topic today that I'd like to discuss is therapeutic boarding schools. And since that is what West Ridge Academy is, I have two experts here to help us understand when might a family consider the use of a therapeutic boarding school?
Well, we're really, as far as boarding the kids, the 24/7, that's really kind of the last thing for the parents to do. We ask them to go through a number of things, whether it's counseling or day programs or. But a lot of it is just parents coming in, and finally they have nowhere to go. They've exhausted about everything, and they just need something that's basically to take the child out of the home.
So what kinds of problems are these children having that the parents are looking for a solution?
Number of things. We deal in pornography, anger issues, drugs, alcohol, or just acting up, not doing what the parents ask or wish they would do, not doing well in school, just a myriad of things.
So the family is looking for a way to have their children safe and receive some therapeutic benefit as well. Is that correct?
Yes, it is, and we have a number of things. Since we are not only are we counseling, but we are an accredited school. So kids who come in normally are not doing well with their grades. We help them at least get caught up and try to get their credits and classes that they need to take taken care of or that they haven't done really well. And then we also add in the counseling services. We have a 7 therapists on staff. And then the other thing that we do is with the brain mapping that Jeff is our expert at doing.
So you provide them not only assistance with school and catching up or getting on grade, but also help address some of the other issues, the behavioral problems, the psychological or psychiatric issues, as well as some addictions.
Yes, I've seen a lot. It seems to be, especially when the parents come in, the kids are dealing with a lot of issues, that whether it's kids that are have been adopted and are acting out because of the feeling of abandonment that they've gone through, even sometimes when they've got when they're families are real strong families and great family unit and everything, they still just have these feelings that show up at some point in their lives where they felt can't understand why their birth mom or dad gave them up. And so they act out in different ways of that. And Many of them sometimes come from divorced families and are angered at both mom or dad or one or the other, and trying to figure out how do they fit in now with feeling like that since mom and dad don't like each other, then they must not like me either. And so a lot of those issues, and then they act out those problems of trying to figure out what's going on in their home life, and then they act out whether it's through drugs and alcohol or by cutting or dealing with sexual problems, and that with a number of people that they're with at such young age, and just trying to feel better.
And trying to find a way to feel better, mm-hmm. sometimes not in the most healthy ways, but they are looking for their own solutions, and sometimes they find something that works at least for a little while mm-hmm. to relieve their pain.
Yeah, and it really disrupts the families. I see the moms are the ones that I, at least in my time there, that I've seen that they're out looking at different ways for it, and dads come in, and I'll ask dads how do they feel about it, and I says, well, for right now, I love my child, but I'm just looking to have my son or daughter out of the house for a while, just so, because it's causing such a disruption with our family life that it's making things miserable all around.
So their previous attempts at either family therapy, some individual therapy, school counseling, tutoring, these kinds of things have not helped the problem, and it's escalating to the point that the family has to do something more drastic than they might have expected.
Yeah, it tears the families apart. And you see mom and dad arguing about things, and you see arguing with the parents, and then we get in some situations where the son or daughter are no longer obeying their parents, and even a son that may just not even obey what dad's telling him to do anymore. And they just willfully do everything wrong in front of it just to test their mom and dad.
Have some of these kids been in more formal treatment, like a psychiatric hospital or an addiction treatment center before they come to you? Are you a step down?
Yes, a little bit. We're not a lockdown facility,
mm-hmm.
And we can only keep the boy or girl until they're age 18. Then they have their choice whether to stay a little bit longer or leave. But generally, our ages have been anywhere from, I think we have a few kids that are 9 up to 17, 18 years old for that.
So a child might have come from a higher level of care mm-hmm. To a less intensive care, but still needs 24-hour supervision, still needs a lot of therapeutic support, school support. Are you sometimes their first entry into some kind of treatment?
Both. We've had some kids that come from a wilderness program mm-hmm. and have received some help from that. But they just need a little bit more. They need more time. They need that opportunity to be able to work with the therapist, get into the system, get caught back up with their schoolwork, and to be helped. It's not a quick fix overnight, mm-hmm. 20, 30 day. Our average students are staying with us around 10 months.
So they may stay the whole school year with
yes.
you.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I think that my experience, limited though it is, with therapeutic boarding schools, I think it's often a really good solution for families, because when you have these young people that are having all of these other issues, but they're also struggling in school, and you take them out and you put them in a treatment program, either for addiction or for psychological, psychiatric issues, often they get behind in school. And even though those treatment programs may do their best to try and contact the school and have the kid do the homework, it's just not the same. And so now not only does the child have the stigma and the problems they have, they're now maybe even being held back in school, which just further complicates their self-esteem issues and their difficulties with reentry. So having them be able to have full schooling, I think, is a real benefit that families should consider.
It is, and it's put into a real structured environment. When they come into the school, we take away their music, iPods, their iTouch, their cell phones. We take away the clothing that they have, put them in our clothing, and so that everybody's the same. You don't see somebody that's maybe better well off that might have a better shirt or better pants than the others, that they're all dressed the same. Mm-hmm. And they're in a very structured environment from the time they wake up in the morning until the time they go to bed. We have what is known as home parents, where we have young couples who we train to be with these kids from the time that they're done with school and finished with their evening meal up until they go to bed in the morning, and help wake them up in the morning and get them ready, showered and ready to go to breakfast and to attend their school. We have structured programs over on the weekends, and we do take them off of our campus to whether it's to approve movies or to museums or other types of programs. We have a great sports program. We compete in a classification against other high schools of the same size. We have boys and girls basketball teams, girls volleyball. We do baseball as well as track. And so we want them to be involved, but in other things. It's
right.
Just not being looking at 24/7 with the problem that they're dealing with. But we hope with these treatments that it goes on and it helps them, helps with treating the treatment, but not just directly all the time with it. Gives them an out to do other things and to be involved.
So this is providing a respite for the family.
Mm-hmm.
Are they involved in any other ways?
Yes, the parents have to be involved because we do family sessions every week where we meet with the child separately with the counselors and one-on-one, but we also have the families come together. Usually it's 1 to maybe a couple of weeks where there's no contact between the child and the parent for the first little bit to get them used to to live in this different life that they haven't been used to. And then we bring the parents in, and sometimes the therapists are help counseling the parents as well for some things that the parents may be dealing with. But then we bring them together, and I've tried my best to be involved in some of the both the individual and with the family sessions, and I'm amazed at how good our therapists really are.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that strikes me is how honest and how much candor there is between the therapist and the student and the therapist and the parents, and telling them that, you know, the parents, we've got to concentrate on getting your child well. And these are the things that you need to do and make sure that those things are followed up on and done.
So the family, though, that they may not have contact directly with their student for the first couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
or a few days, they are having contact with staff. So
yes.
This isn't just, okay, we're taking your kid. You don't know us. We don't really know you. We don't know your kid, but we'll see you in a couple of weeks. That's not what's happening.
No.
Correct?
No, and the therapists are really, really good at keeping the parents informed about
mm-hmm.
what's going on. And then as time goes on and the child is succeeding and things are doing better, there may be a chance for that child to go home for a weekend
mm-hmm.
and spend from a Friday through Sunday or holidays. They may go home for that. And then they go on to where we have a program with some of our staff where we have day programs where that child still comes to school and therapy and everything during the day, but they may go home with one of our staff people who's been trained in the foster care programs and stay overnight with them for maybe a month or two prior to graduating from our program. So everybody's kept in the loop. Nobody's kept away from what's going on. They know what's going on with them.
We're going to take a break. Now, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about therapeutic boarding schools, everything you need to know. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
This is David Donaldson with the Atlanta Healing Center, conveniently located in Lawrenceville, Georgia. At AHC, your success is our goal. Addiction recovery is about more than just not using. It's about becoming a whole person and addressing all aspects of your physical, psychological, and social needs. Please call us at 770-696-9862, or you can reach us on the web at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is Michael Gannot with the Middle East Research Center Limited, bringing you insight to Israel, the truth about the greatness of the Jewish state and its struggle for sovereignty and security, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Hello, this is Michael Daly with Atlanta Healing Center. We know that addiction is a brain disease. Addiction is a family disease. Addiction is a treatable disease. We have a caring professional staff with over 30 years experience to help you and your loved ones in your recovery. You can reach us at www.AtlantaHealingCenter.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. This is Detailing Addiction, and today in studio from West Ridge Academy, I have Gary Lovett and Jeff Horton. We're talking about the advantages of a therapeutic boarding school and some of the details that families might need to know and might need to think about in trying to find a solution for a child who's really struggling, not only at school, but also in their community and in their home. If you'd like more information about West Ridge Academy, you can go to their website at www.westridgeacademy.com, or you can call them at 1-800-262-2697. Right before the break, we were talking about the way in which the family might be a part of the treatment. And I recall a number of years ago when I worked in an addiction treatment center that had a long-term residential component for adolescents, 13 to 18. And some of the parents were actually coming from other countries, from Canada, from Bermuda, other areas that didn't necessarily have this kind of opportunity for treatment of young kids with really severe addictions. And I can remember watching a family bring their child, and at the front door, they hand their child over to staff. And I remember thinking, how scary must that be for that parent? They're not even in the same city or state, they're not even in the same country, and they're turning their child over, knowing they're making a commitment for several months for their child to get healthy. But how scary that must be for the family to wonder what's going to happen, and how is my child going to be, and how am I going to be? It's a really scary thing, not just for the young person, but for the family. Jeff, you've done a lot of work with marriage and family therapy. So, what are some of the ways that at Westridge you all try and help them to be a part of the process, but also get their own needs met?
Well, often in the beginning of treatment, when the kids first arrive, there's kind of a transitional phase where where the kids really most of the time is spent focusing on the kid, the student, and their behavior and their behavioral issues. And the parents, so the focus is on the child and their treatment.
Right.
And often the longer that they're there, their behaviors start to change. As Gary mentioned, the therapists are very good at this. They've been doing this for many years, and they know how to help the kids make changes, to improve their self-awareness, to recognize the consequences of their choices. After all, the ultimate consequence of their choice is that they have arrived at a therapeutic boarding school,
right,
where they have to wear the same uniform every day, and they don't get to listen to their music whenever they want to. And when they begin to realize this, changes occur. And like you said, families want to be a part of this. They want to be a part of this change. And as the child improves, the focus can begin to shift to the family and the role that the family has and will have when the student goes home. So when we are doing therapy with the families, the focus there has to be some focus on thinking for the future and what happens when the child goes home, because it's very easy for things to just go back to the way they were. It's very important that the parents and the families are part of that conversation. So some of that is educational.
Right.
Sometimes parents just need to learn new tools. They need to learn new skills to learn how to how to deal with their kids. As Gary mentioned earlier, often the students that are coming to us come from wonderful families. And sometimes you'd think these are just the most perfect parents in the world, and they can be. But even the most perfect parents in the world can struggle with parenting.
Right.
It's not an easy job, right?
Yeah.
So that's that. The therapist's job at Westridge is to help parents know how to deal with the specific personality traits and the specific behavioral tendencies that their children have. So education is one of the tools that we use, but we also use, as Gary mentioned, sometimes it becomes about the parents and family sessions, which occur weekly. So every kid gets sessions with their therapist every week, but also with their parents.
What if their parents don't live locally or are from another state? How do you manage that?
However we can. So we'll do phone sessions, Skype sessions.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of parents will make attempts to come to school,
mm-hmm.
As often as they can.
Sure.
And sometimes that's never. Sometimes they're, like you mentioned, they're from out of the country.
Right.
But we do whatever we can to involve the parents. It's such an integral part of the therapy. But it's amazing how many great sessions we have over Skype or even the
mm-hmm.
phone, where kids open up. And sometimes not having the parent in the room makes it a little more safe for the child to open up. And some of the most wonderful sessions I've been a part of have been over the phone or Skyping.
Yeah, and kids are so much more comfortable with the electronic age. They're used to FaceTime. They're used mm-hmm. to Skyping. So probably for some of us older folks in the room, not any fingers pointed anywhere, but except back at me, we see that we may not be as comfortable. But for the kids, this is how they communicate. So
yeah.
I would see that would probably actually be an advantage, that they're more comfortable in a face to electronics as they would be more comfortable than they would be with face to face.
Yeah, and I think there's some truth to that, especially in the beginning, right? Especially in the beginning, the often the kids that we're working with have no problems expressing their anger,
right?
But opening up and really expressing hurt feelings
mm-hmm.
or really becoming vulnerable isn't easy to do face to face. Absolutely.
And the anger thing, I think that's something that's not just limited to kids. Lots of adults are much more comfortable with being angry than sad or angry than afraid. So I know with our adults, we often have to talk about, the other side of the coin of anger is fear. So if you're really angry and you're much more comfortable with anger, let's talk about what you're afraid of, and as a way to get them to really get at the feeling. Because the anger isn't the problem. We all know you're angry. We all know what you're angry about. We all know there's probably not a quick fix for that. The money's in finding out what you're afraid of. What are your
Absolutely.
Fears? What are your sadness? And how can we remedy that, which is much more difficult to get to?
And for a lot of parents, their biggest fear is failure.
Yes.
And there can be incredible shame mm-hmm. involved with dropping your kid off at a residential
right.
treatment center because you feel like you failed. You feel like – or they feel like that they are terrible parents, and which often is not the case.
Right.
That they are wonderful parents and maybe just need some help. Or they're dealing with a child who maybe has been through some trauma
mm-hmm.
or a child who genetically has some challenges that make it difficult as a parent. But if there's parents listening, you need to know that there is no shame in reaching out. There's
right.
no shame in asking for help. And sometimes the help that you need is just talking to a friend or maybe it's a therapist. And in special cases, it can be sending your kid to a residential treatment center.
Just like you would if your child was diagnosed with cancer. It may be that you've got to send them to a specialty
yeah.
treatment center for children with this type of cancer or this type of injury or disease. And nobody likes to have to leave their kids, but I don't think that same level of shame and guilt is associated with dropping your child off at St. Jude's because the child has cancer as it is my child has a psychological problem, an addiction problem, a genetically inherited psychiatric disease. Somehow parents seem to feel more shame and guilt about that than they should because it's a brain disease, and we see brain diseases by someone's behavior. Someone has a seizure. You know they have a brain disease causing a seizure because they have the behavioral manifestations of seizures. So the shame and guilt, I know, is a big part of it, and I'm glad that you mentioned it because they really need some reassurance and some support around that.
Absolutely. And that is a two-edged sword, right? The illness can lie with the child.
Right.
And sometimes it can lie with the parent.
Right.
And sometimes getting the child out of the house so the parent can receive treatment is helpful. But treatment is the bottom line, right? Treat the issue.
Right. And get the best treatment you can.
And get the best treatment you can.
The great thing about the things we do at Westridge is those first couple of days are really critical with the child because generally, the child does not know they're coming. Many a times that they're woken up early in the morning, whether it's by their parents or whether it's by somebody from Westridge, come out and wake them up, get them dressed and say, get in the car, get on an airplane, and we're taking you to Utah to be there for some treatment for a while. And generally what's happened is the parents have called our facility and have asked a lot of questions, and they get a hold of it in our admission team, and Wendy and Lynn are real good at explaining what's going to happen. And the reason that they're really good about this is because they both had kids that have gone through the program.
Awesome.
And then once they've been through this program, they've decided to come to work for us. And that really helps, and I think that gives a lot of credibility and a lot of emotional well-being for the parents to know that there's somebody else who's been through this problem before and they can help guide us through. And then when the child shows up, of course, they're in a real tough emotional place, not only dealing with the problem that they're there for in the first place, but now they're in a completely different living arrangement. So they've had their phone taken away from them. They've had their clothing taken away. They're all of a sudden have to get up at a certain time. They're expected to eat. They're expected to go to school. They're expected to have to do their homework, and they're expected to obey the rules. And the thing they get in with our therapists are really good. Most of them have been there between 15 and 26 years.
Wow!
So they've seen about everything. It's very hard for a child to fool them. To get by with things that the child may have to do to try to get mom and dad to relinquish and say, oh, I'll bring you home. And, you know, and I've had parents in my office the day that they've dropped the children off, and we're trying to calm them and say, no, you guys are not bad parents. And go home, get a good night's rest, and be ready to go to work to help your kid, and we'll get your child back home as soon as possible.
So it is an emotional roller coaster, I'm sure, for everyone, the child, the staff, the family. But it is a team, and that's, I think, the important piece is it's not just one person. It's a bunch of people with a lot of experience. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about therapeutic interventions at Westridge Academy and other therapeutic boarding schools. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Michael Daly with Atlanta Healing Center. We know that addiction is a brain disease. Addiction is a family disease. Addiction is a treatable disease. We have a caring professional staff with over 30 years experience to help you and your loved ones in your recovery. You can reach us at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Hi, this is Kate Copsey inviting you to listen year-round to America's Homegrown Veggie Show every Saturday at 10 a.m.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, Medical Director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options, such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. This is Detailing Addiction on America's Web Radio. We're here in studio with Gary Lovett and Jeff Horton from the Westridge Academy out in Utah. This is a therapeutic boarding school that works with children as young as
nine
all the way through high school. Let me just ask you, is this a catch-up? We'll try and keep you current with your school, or is this an accredited school? Are your teachers trained in working with folks who might have learning disabilities or other kinds of learning problems?
It's a little bit different than a normal school because, again, as you mentioned, the teachers have to deal with whatever it is that brought the student to the school in the first place. And the nice thing about it is the student-to-teacher ratios are very small. So you might, instead of having a classroom of 30,
right,
you may only have anywhere from 5 to 15, depending on the class. So the teacher can give individual instructions to the students to help them out. And sometimes the problem that brought the child into the school in the first place is going to act out in a classroom. There may be some disruption. So the teachers have to be prepared to deal with those things and to bring other people in to help with the child, whatever behavior problem they may be experiencing that at that time in the school. So the teachers have been well-trained. And, again, as I mentioned in the earlier segment, we've had teachers that have been there over 15 years.
Wow.
Some of them. So they're, again, they're used to dealing with these kind of problems, and they know how to react so as not to make the problem worse,
mm-hmm,
but to help them. And we help the students. We're an accredited school, so we help the students get caught up. We work with advanced placement subjects. And sometimes the students end up graduating. We have a graduation ceremony for them as part of it, not only from the program but from high school. And some of the students desire that they'll just graduate from our school rather than go back to their high school and graduate with their class. So,
and that can be very helpful. Mm-hmm. I know with many of the young people that we deal with, and in other settings where I've worked with younger children, sometimes the school has become a big part of the problem, either because the child has now been labeled as a behavioral problem, the group of kids that they've been hanging with, particularly around drugs and alcohol, mm-hmm, can create a dangerous situation for the child to return to. I've worked in a number of situations where the kids are actually drug dealers in their former life, and so the temptation for them to go back to old people, places, and things is great. And so having the opportunity to still complete their education, which is important, but do it in a safe, structured place that won't trigger them to return to old behaviors is sometimes really helpful.
And we really want the kids, one, not only to overcome whatever the problem was that brought them there, but we want them to be make contributions to society. And so we've had a number of kids who go through and become lawyers, teachers. Some of them become psychologists and mm-hmm, come back in, and they see this. And as part of this therapy, like any therapy that you deal with, you want to make it so they don't go back to that same environment that had the problems become anyway. So if they can't, we try to get them if maybe to go to a different school when they come out, or even better yet, to not go back to the same friends, but to help them realize why they shouldn't go back into those things and how that can be harmful for them. You know, they're not cured.
Right.
Of course, when they leave, because they've still got to go back and see if they can function in the environments that they came from before. And so I think it sometimes it really helps when the students choose to graduate from the high school, and then they can go on. Many of them will go on and do their college work and get away from those old friends in high school or junior high, whatever caused their behaviors before.
And I think you said an important thing, and that is the same thing that Jeff said earlier about education. Not just say, don't do it. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. We don't want you to do that. That's bad for you. But why? Mm-hmm. Why? Helping them to really understand what are the risks, what are the benefits, what are the alternatives, helping them to make better decisions based on information rather than orders from an authority figure.
Yeah. And not only when they do graduate from our program, we also have an aftercare that they work through. So we establish their help team, whether that's their parents or their teachers, family members, friends, or whatever. And then we have a therapist that checks up on them for a certain amount of time after they leave the program. So whether they have to go to another state, we work through it that way, or if they just happen to be in Utah and we can drive to them, we go back into their homes and we find out how they're doing and if they're functioning well or if they've got problems or if they've had relapses and what we can do to help them on that. So we're very interested in making sure that we've done everything that we can to make that kid a functioning human being back into society.
And as successful as they can be. Mm-hmm. So part of that is the therapy. And I know, Jeff, you've been very involved in the therapeutic world at Westridge. So tell us a little bit about your role and how the therapies are helpful to the kids.
Sure, specifically neurofeedback?
Yes, and everything else.
Okay, so good question. So Westridge offers a variety of interventions, a variety of treatments, and some of that is medication. We have a psychiatric nurse on staff who helps diagnose and give proper medications to the kids.
Good.
We have the therapists help with their therapeutic interventions. The school itself does a lot of activities that are therapeutic in nature, service projects.
Mm-hmm.
There's recreation therapy where students who kind of earn the right can go on, can do things like snowboarding, or I think we're planning a horseback riding trip soon, things like that. So there's a wide variety of tools in our tool belt, if you will. What I specifically offer at Westridge is a technological intervention called neurofeedback. And I know that you have a lot of experience with neurofeedback, so maybe your listeners are very well versed in this. I don't know.
A little bit, not too much, actually.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, with the students that we have, our population, often what we're dealing with are behavioral impulsivities. And most of the kids that I've done EEG brain mapping on show that they have difficulty controlling their emotional or behavioral impulses. Mm-hmm. Right? Excuse me, impulses. And do we need to explain neurofeedback? Should we go into that?
Yes, if you would, please.
Okay, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So neurofeedback, for those who don't know, is a technology. It uses an EEG, like an EKG, to monitor heart activity. But this monitors brain activity, coupled with computerized feedback to train yourself or the client how to change the way their brain is operating.
Mm-hmm.
And with practice, the brain changes. We actually literally retrain the brain to a more optimized state. So with students who have this filtering issue, have this inability to control their impulses, we we use the EEG and the feedback to teach them how to strengthen the parts of the brain that are that control that filter. So when they feel the impulses, they have that chance to think a second time, right? To question their behavior. For other students, we see some autonomic nervous system issues, or specifically fight or flight survival responses. So sometimes they, if they've been in gangs, or they kind of come from rough neighborhoods, or if they have trauma in their backgrounds, or there's a variety, wide variety of experiences, and perhaps even biological reasons that can cause fight or flight or survival overactivation. And neurofeedback is very effective at helping to calm that down. And once you have, if you're in a state of survival every day of your life, of anxiety or hypervigilance, or maybe the way you deal with stress is by just completely checking out. I'm sure there's some parents who are nodding their head right now.
Right.
They see their eyes glaze over. Maybe you guys, maybe your eyes glaze over every time I talk. I don't know. I'll try to spice this up. But the technology itself helps calm that down, or even activate it if it needs to be activated. And once that occurs, then you can. That filter I mentioned doesn't need to filter out those strong emotions. It doesn't need to filter out the anxiety. It doesn't need to filter out even the emotional impulses, anger, rage, things like that. So we've had a lot of success with it at Westridge. We see a significant improvement in the students' ability to pay attention in class. Often teachers are the ones that notice the improvements even before the kids themselves. Therapists notice that the students are more insightful in therapy, more willing to open up, more willing to deal with the difficult topics. And then finally, parents get to see it when they when they come in for family sessions, or when. When the students go home for their weekend visits, the parents get to see the improvements, which is really neat. And that's the fun part of my job, is hearing back from parents that their student is a different person in a good way.
Right. And back to their usual.
Exactly.
Or back to the sweet kid that they used
that they
to
remembered,
be.
That they remember their kid being, yeah.
I think the advantage in using a technique like neurofeedback, well, there's many. From a psychiatrist standpoint, I'm always reluctant to give people, particularly kids, medications. Most of the studies on medications are done in adults, and most of them on males. So when we start talking about how is this really going to affect this young person over a lifetime, what are the real risks? We don't always know that. The neurofeedback, to me, is such a benefit, because you get symptom relief without sedation, side effects, nausea, vomiting, trouble with stunted growth, with like the ADD medications. That the changes are relatively permanent, in the sense that they don't have to keep coming back every week for years and years to maintain it. And that you're using a brain that is somewhat plastic. A child, a young adolescent, has a brain that's still growing and able to be nurtured in a way that gives them a healthy ability to pay attention and to sleep and to relax and to enjoy life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the advantages to doing this in an RTC is that when the changes occur, the therapists and the psychiatric nurse and the teachers and the staff, they meet weekly or every other week to discuss these cases, and we get to collaborate on interventions. So the psychiatric nurse, if she feels like the medications need to be reduced because their behavior is improving, that can occur. Often I'll notice things in my sessions that I can pass on to the therapists that they can use in their sessions. Like, for example, not too long ago, I had a I had a student who I was having him practice a visualization. I wanted to activate the part of his brain that deals with pictures, and he had a really difficult time visualizing things that he was grateful for. And I was able to talk to his therapist and talk to about this student's ability to feel, and which became an important topic in their therapy sessions. So we get to work. So there's a collaborative
back
team.
And forth.
It's a team.
Mm-hmm.
It's not not just one person helping their child. So
we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about therapeutic interventions and how you might need to decide for yourself about a therapeutic boarding school. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Michael Daly with Atlanta Healing Center. We know that addiction is a brain disease. Addiction is a family disease. Addiction is a treatable disease. We have a caring professional staff with over 30 years experience to help you and your loved ones in your recovery. You can reach us at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, host of Detailing Addiction and medical director of the Atlanta Healing Center. Please join me on Tuesday afternoons at 4 p.m.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, medical director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. Today in studio, I have Gary Lovett and Jeff Horton from the West Ridge Academy. Everybody's holding their breath in studio, by the way, every time I go to say that. Let me give you a phone number, 1-800-262-2697. Again, that's 1-800-262-2697. I like that number. It's got nice balance. And the website is www.westridgeacademy.com. And I'm sure that if you contact this phone number or go online, you'll be able to learn more information how you might want to consider this for someone that you love and find some answers about how to actually make that happen. So one of the things that we were talking about in terms of therapeutic interventions, also I'm wondering about the idea of spirituality. I know for folks who are in recovery or working on recovery from addictions, finding a higher power, a connection with strength, hope, unconditional love outside themselves is something that provides them with a very important tool to be able to face life and handle stress and difficulties in the future. Is spirituality an important role in the therapeutic work that you do?
It's a big part of the program, and you've probably experienced this in with the adults that you've dealt with in your practice over the years, but we see this with many of the kids who come in who, when we ask them what religion are they or do they have a belief in a higher power, many of them will say that they're either agnostic mm-hmm. or atheist.
Right.
And the reasoning for that is I think it's mostly because they feel that God's given up on them. That's why they have the problem. And so it's easier for me to not believe in God because then I've got a reason for having this, and I don't have to blame God anymore, or that He's not there and He's mm-hmm. not doing anything to help me for it. And so we help them to get that feeling back of having a having a higher power and to help guide and direct them. And we have programs based on all of the religions to help deal with that. And that's a big part. The therapists incorporate that into their therapy. It's incorporated throughout the school and through the campus that we have programs on Sunday or during the week, especially at the weeknight. We have a Boy Scout program for the young men who want to participate in Boy Scouts and go on and go up through the ranks of that to have that as another activity that they choose to do. So the spirituality-based program is a big part of what happens out at Westridge.
And the therapists are also involved in reinforcing that and helping to foster a feeling of a sense of hope and a higher power?
Absolutely. As Gary said, it's a part of everything that goes on at Westridge. There's prayers that are said before meals.
Mm-hmm.
It's talked about in therapy as needed. I like the way you described it with the 12 steps and addiction,
right.
That
mm-hmm.
A higher power is a core principle of that,
right.
and same with Westridge. Often there are emotional issues that are holding us back
mm-hmm.
from that,
right.
And as the children or as the students as they redevelop their like back to who they are, they
mm-hmm.
start to reconnect with God.
Right.
And it's fun to see their improvement, to see how they reconnect on an individual basis. And they get to do this like we're talking about. Their parents aren't there, so they're finding their own path
mm-hmm.
to God. They're finding confidence in themselves to be able to do this. And they're not being pushed.
Mm-hmm.
We invite them to do this. It's not like they get in trouble if they don't close their eyes during a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You can't push God on somebody,
right?
But that connection
mm-hmm.
is absolutely important. And I think regardless of your beliefs, regardless
right.
of your whatever church you go to, you should find comfort
mm-hmm.
and. Reassurance that at least at Westridge that we're going to be able to help guide
mm-hmm.
the kids down that path. There's another thought I have that I wanted to say on that, but all the staff at Westridge are all active religious believers.
Mm-hmm.
While we're not affiliated with any denomination,
right.
there's a spiritual strength that often people will feel when they come
mm-hmm.
to campus, that they can just feel when they arrive. And we encourage parents to come visit and take tours of the campus to feel that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. And you mentioned also the sense of gratitude and the difficulty that the young person that you were doing the neurofeedback with visualizing something they were grateful for,
mm-hmm.
Which is really such an important part, again, of healing and recovery, is the idea of a sense of gratitude. And out of that can often grow a sense of belonging and a sense of power coming from the group they're with. I tell a story sometimes about a psychiatrist who is, they're kind of very difficult patients to have. And he had struggled and just said, I don't get this higher power thing. I can't believe this. I'm not a spiritual person. I've never had a religious background. I don't get it. And so one day I ask him, have you not experienced unconditional love in any time in your life? And he welled up a little bit with tears, and he said, my dog. He said, my dog loves me no matter how long I've been gone, no matter how poorly I've treated him, whether I fed him or walked him. And when I was active in my using, my dog would watch over me. And my dog sometimes actually nudged me and kept me from dying. And I said, and that's what I'm talking about, this sense that you are lovable even when you don't feel lovable, that somebody, something in your life loves you unconditionally and is just happy to see you. And I think sometimes that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. Most of the time, folks don't pick up the phone and say, gee, my life's going so well, I think I'll go to therapeutic boarding school. Something really bad has happened for them, or a series of bad things. They've been beat down. They feel horrible. Their self-esteem is bad. They feel abandoned, unloved, and unlovable. And instilling that sense of hope is this isn't about indoctrinating someone in a religious belief. This is about giving them hope and the idea, again, that they can be loved and that they're worth something. So I'm so glad it's an important part of your program.
And I think a couple of really fun things to see when you see this process where the child is coming to an end and graduating from the program is, one is sometimes during these therapy sessions, and I've seen this, is where the child becomes even more interested in helping mom and dad.
Right.
And they'll put their hand on dad or mom's knee and say, Mom, Dad, are you doing this? Are you taking care of these things? Or, how's my brother and sister doing? And I had an incident one time where one of the first sessions that the person was in was very mad at the mother. And the reason they were there was not the mother's fault, but there was a lot of anger, a lot of resentment towards that mother. Well, fast forward in time a little bit, they were out in our hallway, and the young man, I walked out of my office to greet the family and everything. I'd been in a couple of the sessions with him, and the young man comes out, had a great session with the therapist. Family session went very well. He comes up and gives me a hug, surprised me, and then I see him there holding his sister, playing with her, and giving mom a hug. And that's, I think, the great satisfaction of that part. And then you see students and families who have graduated from the program, they come back and they bring cookies or they do something to help service the kids that are there. And I think that's how you know that these people are going to make it, when you see things like that.
Absolutely. In our last few moments, might families be able to have use of their insurance or their financial opportunities to help support their children in this endeavor?
Yes, there are some many insurance companies that will pay for this, and our admissions team is really good at finding those things out and helping through the process, so the parents going through this emotional roller coaster aren't having to worry about finding out all of this information. Generally, it's mostly just telling us who their insurance company is, and then we can make the contact and check for that. And then we do have scholarships programs where people have donated monies to the organization and have told us, please set this aside for families who don't have the money but really need our service.
So if any of you are interested in finding out more about West Ridge Academy, please go to their website, www.westridgeacademy.com. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your being here. And we'll see you all next week on Detailing Addiction.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.